Do you believe?
We are live. Welcome in to Bringing Home the Hardware with Kate Constable and Mark Drumheller. Our first time ever going live on StreamYard. So we don't even know if this thing is working. We're going to find out here. But this is going to be how we bring you guys the hardware as we bring home the hardware. Yes, we are up and running on Twitter right now. That's pretty cool. Going forward, Mark, this is exciting stuff. A next step in the right direction for the pod.
Absolutely. We're doing it live. So anybody checking in, make sure you drop a comment. Let us know you're listening. Say hi. Or, you know, if you have any bets, anything you want to discuss, definitely hit us up. So trying to make it a little more interactive than just doing the podcast and shipping it out. So, you know, join us and make it a little bit more fun.
For sure. I mean, would you look at that? Already, three views on the old timeline here.
Exciting stuff. It's starting to pick up.
We're also going to have the full pod up on Believe after, so you can listen it wherever you get your podcast, all of that. But figured this would be a good way to kind of get people more involved. And like Mark said, ask some questions, throw some comments in. We'll talk about anything you guys want to talk about. But Mark, today we're starting with Justin Fields, possibly.
Yes.
No longer being a Chicago Bear. He's going down to the dirty South, Atlanta. Well, we don't know that for sure, but that's what the odds are suggesting right now, because over on DraftKings, he is next team for Justin Fields, -425. So it's kind of looking like that's where the books are telling us he's going to be landing this offseason.
Yeah, Instagram post surfaced. I think it was of his agent, and it showed Fields kind of jumping around, his agent saying, "Are you ready to go home?" or something along those lines.
No, that was old. I got tricked on that, too.
Oh, was
I'm pretty sure that was old.
Oh, no.
I know.
So, but I don't know. Well, hopefully,
if it was real, then yes, he's going home.
I don't think the books get tricked with that stuff. Maybe I do, but maybe the books don't. But it would be very cool to see him going back to Atlanta. I mean, we talked before about, you know, places he could go to have an impact. We threw out Pittsburgh. We thought that was a good fit, but weren't sure if Pittsburgh was ready to let go of Kenny Pickett. Now he goes to Atlanta, you know, allegedly, if that's, you know, where he's going to end up. And that gives them, you know, a definite upgrade, a quarterback over Desmond Ridder.
Yeah, I was on the Daily Tip this morning on BetQL, and Gabe Ramirez from 670 The Score came on, and he said he still thinks that there could be a possibility that Fields lands in Pittsburgh. So he sees some value on taking that. I believe that's at like plus 450. But based on these odds here, it's looking like Atlanta is probably going to be the landing spot. I don't know how I feel about that. I feel like every day I switch back and forth between wanting to draft Caleb Williams here in Chicago or wanting to keep Justin Fields and continue to build around him. With each new day comes a new side. I don't really know what I want. Very indecisive on this whole quarterback thing, but it's probably because I, like most of the country or the casual football fan that's not a GM, I don't know what's right. So I will miss Justin Fields if he's gone, but that would be cool if he could go back home too and get a fresh start, something new for him. He didn't have the best situation around him here in Chicago.
Yeah, I think that's what everyone wants to see, is him go to a situation that, you know, is a little bit tailor-made for him, that suits him to where he can excel. And the one thing about Atlanta is they have plenty of weapons. I mean, they have Drake London, mm-hmm. they have Bijan, they have Kyle Pitts, a lot of guys that underachieved. You know, is it the players or is it the quarterback there? We're going to find out. They're going to get an upgrade with Fields if he ends up there. And I like it. I mean, you get, you know, Raheem Morris, so you have a new, you know, regime in there, building a new culture, starting with Fields. I believe it's Zach Robinson who came over from the Rams to be the offensive coordinator for Morris. So that's going to help him, you know, coming from that Sean McVay system, bringing over to Fields. Hopefully it accentuates, you know, what he's able to do, you know, within that offense. And hopefully they build the offense around his strengths. I think that was one of the things that was missing in Chicago, is they were a little bit sort of going back and forth between playing to his strengths and trying to fit him into a certain system. So hopefully Nelly has a couple years on tape. Atlanta or wherever he lands does a good job of kind of building the offense around him so he can excel.
Yeah, I think you're being nice, Mark. Chicago did nothing to build the offense around him. They tried to fit him into the offense, which is why it didn't work this year.
The Bears. There are a couple games where they let the man loose. There were a couple games where they let Justin Fields cook, and fantasy owners were very happy. But, yeah, it was a little bit of a struggle his time in Chicago. So, you know, is it better? I want to see both guys succeed. I want to see Caleb. I want to see them build around Caleb. You know, Chicago, obviously, bad history of quarterbacks. They finally have an elite talent. Want to see them do it right. And Fields, I want to see him excel in Atlanta. The NFL is a better place when these quarterbacks are good.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I was actually listening right before this to Mecole Hardman on the Pivot podcast, I believe it is, where he was just talking about the Jets and everything, and that whole deal is blowing up. And he said that when Aaron Rodgers went out, the Jets didn't pivot to have the offense fit Zach Wilson's capabilities. They tried to fit him into Aaron Rodgers' capabilities. And Hardman's like, in Kansas City, when Mahomes went out and Chad Henne came in, the offense was tailored towards what Chad Henne was able to do, which is why they went like 5-1 without Mahomes. So it seems like a pretty simple blueprint that maybe Chicago should have followed. Maybe they will going forward, but cater to the needs and capabilities of your quarterback and kind of let
the offense. Do we think Wilson's better than Henne?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Because I feel like when we talk about Zach Wilson, we say that like things like, yeah, you know, they didn't build the offense around him. I don't know how you do that. Like, I don't know what Zach Wilson's strengths are besides his arm. He has good arm strength. But outside of that, I don't know how you build that. I think their biggest issue is they didn't have an offensive line, so the quarterback was getting killed no matter whether it was Aaron Rodgers, Zach Wilson, or anybody. So Wilson didn't stand much of a chance back there. He's a guy that you're really going to have a, you know, strong players around if you're going to win. And I just don't think the Jets were ready.
It was clear last year that the Jets were not ready by any
helmets on the ground, he said. He said they left their helmets on the ground. He was upset about that. Apparently, that's a no-no in the NFL, tripping hazard. So Hardman was mad. That just showed that they weren't, you know,
they weren't serious about winning. A serious organization.
Get your helmets up.
All right. Learn something new every day. We're going to talk a little bit about Aaron Rodgers in just a second. We'll go through the early odds for the NFL. And he's on the board somewhere for MVP. Nice little tease there. But quickly, Mark, Shohei Ohtani is married. What can't this guy do?
Big changes for Ohtani, right? He goes over to the Dodgers. All this pressure now of winning a World Series. And he figured, hey, let's add a little more pressure. Why not get married too?
I love that his post was written all in Japanese, I'm assuming. I can't read that. And there's a little dog in the corner. Does Ohtani have a dog? Do we know anything about that?
He's got to have a dog, right? You have to have a dog.
I'm a
dog guy. I got a dog. If I was Shohei Ohtani, I'd have a dog.
If I had a house, I would have a dog, but I live in a high rise and I'm not going up and down those floors.
If I had $800 trillion, you could get somebody to walk them anyway, right? Like Shohei Ohtani.
But so, I also don't have that either.
If you got bags like Shohei Ohtani, you got dog walkers, you got somebody to feed the dog, probably someone to give the dog a massage, right? A little masseuse comes by, takes care of the pup.
So I can only imagine, I just got married in August. Weddings are hella expensive.
Yes.
Ohtani has basically, let's just call it, unlimited resources. I wonder what his wedding looked like. Like, did they go all out? Or was it just kind of a very simple classic wedding? Because that's what I feel like Ohtani's wedding would be like. Just something very low-key, not too flashy, right?
Yeah, quiet, respectful, like not too nuts, you know. But
yeah,
I agree with you. It's a ton of, I mean, listen, I got married 17 years ago, and I still remember we paid with cash because it was cheaper. Like, you saved a lot of money, right? And I remember driving there with all this loot in my car like I was in an episode of Goodfellas. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, if I get in an accident here, there's going to be money flying all over the place. This is going to be terrible. So, yeah, it's definitely a pretty penny.
Apparently, he's doing an interview on Friday where he's going to reveal her name or more details about it. I would like to see some pictures. That's what I'm looking forward to. Mark, the NFL awards early odds are out. We have not run through these yet. Guess who the favorite for MVP is already?
Maybe the best player on the planet.
Could be Patrick Mahomes, +600. leads the MVP. Josh Allen right now behind him, 700, Burrow 900, Lamar Jackson 10-1, and then it goes up from there. Aaron Rodgers, like we mentioned, he's 20-1. Does anyone, I mean, Mahomes is like the easy answer here. How do you not bet Mahomes MVP? Because it seems like the guy just, obviously he didn't win it last year, but is in the running every single year. But down the board a little bit, is Rodgers anyone that you would take a look at?
I don't think so. I mean, they got their helmets on the ground. How are they going to win any football games? You know, helmets are on the ground. You can't win. I don't like the Jets. I don't think that this is going to all get better with Aaron Rodgers being healthy. But we'll see. You know, draft, a lot of offseason ahead. I like to target some long shots. And I got a question for you, Kate. Like, last year, scoring was down again, right? Continues to be down more and more each year. Last year, we had a bunch of totals in the 30s, a bunch of games resembling Iowa Hawkeyes football, right? And I don't know what the NFL can do to get the scoring up. I mean, the rules are all favoring the offense anyway, and they still can't score any points. Defense is figuring them out, shut them down, take away the big plays. So are we getting closer and closer to having a non-quarterback win MVP? The big story with Lamar winning was he doesn't have the statistical profile that historically quarterbacks have had. If we get another season of that, does that open the door for a non-quarterback to win the award? And if so, you got a guy like Tyreek Hill who almost had 2,000 yards sitting at 75-1. I don't think that's a bad look.
No, I don't think so either. I wonder if maybe we're like 1 year too early for it to be a non-quarterback award. But yeah, I mean, McCaffrey's at 35-1. I would love to know what he was last year in the look-ahead market if he was that low. Because there are plenty of quarterbacks that are below him or above him in the odds, have worse odds, is what I'm trying to say. So after a season where McCaffrey just had, where he was kind of in the running for MVP or in the conversation at some points, is this number where he's at now higher than it was last year at this time? Because that would kind of tell us that things are starting to trend in the right direction of maybe a non-quarterback winning the award.
Yeah, I mean, I would be interested in that number as well. I don't know it specifically offhand because I wasn't sure. I wasn't really keyed in on McCaffrey because I wasn't sure he could stay healthy through the entire year.
I don't think many people were.
But I think if you look at it, like, that was the story in the MVP market was, if it's not going to be a quarterback, it's going to be Hill or it's going to be McCaffrey, right? And other players could be in there. Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase could have massive years depending on their quarterback situations, and they could be in the running for MVP next year as well. Who knows, right? But when I look at those two players, the fact that McCaffrey is 35-1 and Hill is 75-1, I think there's a better chance of Hill being able to exceed what he did this past season than McCaffrey being able to duplicate what he was able to do, getting touchdowns every single week, staying healthy the entire year in Kyle Shanahan's offense. Now, listen, I'm not the biggest 49ers fan, right? So might be a little bit biased. I can admit it. I'll tell you full disclosure. But I think it's difficult to expect McCaffrey to do that again, where you have Tyreek Hill another year in Mike McDaniel's offense, the better offensive line, we hope, right? You would assume they would address the offensive line in the offseason, whether that's through the draft or free agency. I think that I like Hill. If we're going non-quarterback, I'd rather get Hill at double the return than McCaffrey at 35-1. You know, and there's some quarterbacks down the board I have my eye on too, Kate.
I think that's very smart, especially because Hill missed some time this year. Like, he wasn't healthy all season. So McCaffrey duplicating what he did, that would be, if he was able to do that, I think he should win MVP, because that's going to be extremely hard to do, right? Like, that's his path for winning MVP, is basically just to have the exact same year he had this year and not regress at all. I feel like that's going to be hard to do. So I'm with you. I think out of the two of them, Tyreek Hill is probably the better look, obviously a lot better value. What are the quarterbacks down the board that you like?
Brace yourself for this one. Ready?
Don't say Russell Wilson or Derek Carr.
I like Matt Stafford at 30-1. I think the Rams were a contender down the stretch. Yeah. He's got Nacua. He's got Kupp. Those guys stay healthy. He can have a monster year. Tough division, right? You got, you know, McDonald taking over Seattle. They're expected to be better. I think Arizona is going to be better. So I think the division top to bottom is going to be tougher. But I like what McVay did this year. They were a team that I did not believe in at all. They exceeded my expectations. I don't see any reason why they could do it again. If Stafford stays healthy, I think they can put up monster numbers in that offense. The other one, just hear me out here. Jared Goff, 40-1. We're getting 40-1 on Jared Goff. Jared Goff played in one of the most prolific offenses in the NFL with the Detroit Lions. He stays healthy, plays, you know, 60, 70% of his games indoors every single year. So he's not out in the cold. He's not dealing with weather. Everybody's coming back. You know, who are they losing in that offense? It's going to really matter. Not many people. Jameson Williams is going to be another year. You know, he's not going to be a rookie anymore. You know, hopefully he stays healthy. He's going to have a ton more weapons. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be out of his rookie season. He should be much better this second year. He was amazing towards the tail end of last season. So the Detroit offense, bringing Ben Johnson, coming back, right? Stiff-armed the Commanders, told them thanks, but no thanks. I'm going back to Detroit. We got unfinished business. If they're better offensively next year, it's going to be hard to keep Jared Goff out of the MVP conversation if they're winning a ton of football games. And at 40-1, like you talked about Aaron Rodgers at 20-1 in a quasi dumpster fire, right, in New York.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Jared Goff at 40-1. Double the price, double the return in a team that was this close to going to the Super Bowl.
I can't argue with you there at all. I was actually looking at him as well. It's interesting that he's at 40-1 and Anthony Richardson's at 40-1. And we didn't see Anthony Richardson hardly at all this year. He got injured. I mean, so it's not his fault. But to think that and Justin Fields is at 41, we don't even know where Justin Fields is going to be next year. So I think that's a great call out. Just a mispriced line on Jared Goff based on the offense that Detroit has, what we saw from last year, the hope that they're going to continue to build on that this upcoming season. Mark, I think we might be on to something. That's why
we are bringing home. Jared, restore the roar. The Jared Goff train starts today.
Choo-choo.
We're the conductors.
The war. also, our first comment, Rashad Phillips, always supporting Kate.
Love
Rashad,
it.
Thank you. We love you. Rashad's great in the NBA college basketball space. His insight is always extremely knowledgeable. So maybe we have to get Rashad on the podcast sometime to talk some NBA futures at some point. But cool little feature there. I've always wondered how people get those things up on the board, but now we know.
Bang, bang.
Bang,
and
bang.
Everybody listening, drop us a comment, say hi. You don't have to have any kind of, you know, great take on, you know, maybe you don't like Jared Goff. That's okay too. Tell us who you'd like in MVP looking ahead to next year. And, you know, always good to check in.
Exactly. Mark, moving on to offensive player of the year, Christian McCaffrey. No surprise, he is the leader in that category at plus 550. Tyreek Hill right behind him, 650. Justin Jefferson also 650. I mean, again, looking down the board further is likely where we should be.
That's what I like to do
at this point in the season. Right. But then you get a ton of quarterbacks kind of all bunched up. Puka Nacua at 30-1. Right.
Love it.
Why would you not?
Love it. Talked about the Rams earlier. That was one of the two players I had earmarked. I think at 31. I mean, he set all kinds of records as a rookie. And now he's second year. Like now it's not
like one offensive rookie of the year this year if it wasn't for CJ Stroud. Right.
Yeah. Oh, of course. He's just figuring it out this year. I mean, he wasn't even full Puka Nacua. Now we're going to see full Puka Nacua. Knows exactly, you know, what the NFL is all about. Of course, teams are going to try and take him away, but you got Cooper Kupp on the other side. You got Sean McVay calling the plays. You got Matthew Stafford slinging it sidearm. I like Nacua at 30-1, man. I think there's a ton of potential there.
I do too. Looking at Marvin Harrison Jr., he's all the way down there at 120-1. But that, I mean, that we should look at for offensive rookie of the year and not offensive player of the year. And obviously that's going to be a different price. Defensive player of the year.
I got another one for you.
Oh, yeah. You got another one? Go for it.
I got another one for you. 40-1. A.J. Brown, Philadelphia Eagles. One of the best wide receivers in the game. They get a new offensive coordinator.
Are you sure it's not just because you're an Eagles fan?
It could be. But this is the things that we should look for, right? Situation could be vastly improved with going from Brian Johnson to Kellen Moore. I mean, all kinds of reports came out in Philadelphia that they felt like Brian Johnson was intimidated by the players, and it was just a complete disaster, right? They went from Shane Steichen to Johnson. Woo, everything went down. Everything crashed. Fast as you could. The ships are burned. We're starting new. We bring in Kellen Moore. CeeDee Lamb had some great years with Kellen Moore. You know, I think he's going to run some more motion. I think the offense – is the defense still a little bit worried about, right? We got some things going on there. Hassan Reddick, you know, might be getting traded. You know, the secondary is still old. We got a lot of work to do, but Howie's on the case. Anyway, back to A.J. Brown. I mean, he's the number one guy in the offense. When the offense works, he's getting his. He's eating. He has Devonta Smith on the other side, so you can't really take him away. I like it. I think at 40-1, you have a guy who is talked about amongst the league in the likes of the Tyreek Hills, the Jamar Chases, the Justin Jeffersons, right? He's talked about like he's a top five receiver in the NFL. You're getting him at a pretty good price here, getting a new offensive coordinator where the offense is set up to, you know, very much exceed what they did last year.
Can't argue with the points you made there either, Mark.
And all this like media stuff about how, hey, you know, like he wants a trade and he's not happy with anything and all that just helps the price. Like, it just makes the price better. Sure. So I want more, you know, A.J. Brown nonsense going on here. Maybe we can get a, you know, 50-1 a little bit later.
What about Defensive Player of the Year? Micah Parsons leading the race, plus 550. T.J. Watt, 700. Same with Nick Bosa and Myles Garrett and Max Crosby. But again, we got to go down the board.
Yeah, I like Hutchinson. So back to the Lions. I'm back to the Lions again. Yeah. I think the Lions are undervalued in this market. Aiden Hutchinson's a young guy who might be able to take that next step, right? You know, and get into the conversation with Myles Garrett, with Micah Parsons, you know, with TJ Watt. I think he can get there. You know, if they put some more defensive players around him, free him up so he doesn't get as much attention. You know, tough division, right? It's going to be facing some good quarterbacks, but I like Hutchinson. I think at that number 12-1, that second tier, sure, you can bet TJ Watt, you can bet Garrett, you know, it's 7-1. You know, you can bet Parsons the favorite, but that's no fun, right? I want a little bit of a bigger number. And I think, you know, Hutchinson makes a lot of sense.
What about my guy Montez Sweat at 30-1? Since he came to Chicago, the Bears defense kind of turned around. Is there any, like, do you see any path there, or is that just kind of crazy talk?
I think there's a path. You know, you have to see the defense. Like, well, here's the thing. The defense is really what catapulted them towards the end of the season. Really, like, the reason why things got better in Chicago in the second half was because secondary got healthy, they brought in Sweat, defense got better. So, of course, another year in the system, I think he could do that. My only concern is we saw with, like, Myles Garrett, like, he was able to get a lot of attention because there wasn't a quarterback on the other side getting any attention, right? I mean, we went crazy for Joe Flacco at the end of the year, but besides that, it was like, the narrative was the Browns were where they were because of the defense. If the Bears are successful, are they going to say the same thing, or is Caleb Williams going to soak up all the spotlight?
That's a great call. Caleb Williams is going to soak up all the spotlight. Yep. All right. So, take him off the board. Yeah. Not a good bet by any means. Coach of the year, Mark, Jim Harbaugh. First year back in the NFL, not his first NFL season. He's been there before, but first year back, he is the favorite, plus 550. Then you have Matt LaFleur. I actually kind of like Matt LaFleur. Plus 850, Raheem Morris, Mike McDonald, Shane Steichen, and the list goes on and on. Where are we looking?
You're going to love this one. How about Jonathan Gannon, 20-1, Arizona Cardinals.
Really?
Well, that's it. It's a situation. The team was very bad, but played very well, right? I think after the first year in Arizona, we know Jonathan Gannon was the right choice, right? Team played well. They played hard for him. They just didn't have the players. Kyler Murray was hurt most of the season, came in at the end. You know, if they get Marvin Harrison Jr., and they can do some things with Kyler Murray, right? He gets another year with the new offensive coordinator. The offense is clicking. They shore up some spots on defense. Gannon was a guy that I miss here in Philadelphia. I didn't appreciate him as much as I probably should have, right? Was upset in the Super Bowl because Patrick Mahomes scored whenever he wants. So we found out this year, doesn't matter who he's playing. Patrick Mahomes scores
whatever. Yeah, I would be upset about that too. But
yeah. So, you know, but we miss Gannon, especially after last year getting, you know, sliced and diced by Baker Mayfield in the playoffs. Baker Mayfield was scoring whenever he wanted this year, so I'd rather lose to Patrick Mahomes than Mayfield. But back to Gannon, this is a team that was bad last year. Mm-hmm. If he can get them to the playoffs, bring in a guy like Harrison Jr., shore up the offensive line. The division's hard. I mean, there are just killers in this division. 49ers. They're going to need some of those teams to go through a lot of injuries if they're going to make up ground. The Rams, you know. But if they can get into the playoffs, I like Jonathan Gannon at 20-1. I think that's a pretty good price. And that's really what we want to look at. We want to look at the teams like, you know, that weren't playoff teams last year that can take a big leap, take that next step. And Gannon in his second year is a guy I think is worth targeting.
All right, this is, again, just a homer comment from me, but, like, Matt Eberflus, with the new cut, have you seen – he looks like a completely different person to me. Have you seen this?
Styling. If I was Matt Eberflus after last year, I would cut my hair, too, and try and look like a completely different person. I would want everything to scream new era in Chicago.
Right? It's like when you get broken up with and all of a sudden you go and chop your hair and you're like, new hair, new me, new everything.
Yep. Caleb's coming to town.
Basically, Matt Eberflus did that. He looks like a legit football coach now. I'm just saying, it's working for him. He looks like he's serious. He's tough. He knows what he's doing. The old Matt Eberflus just kind of looked like your peewee football coach.
You think he bought a new car? Like, are we full blown, like, midlife crisis?
I would love it if he did. I think he should.
He pulls up in like a Maserati. You call me Maserati Matt.
Not only that, he has a driver for the Maserati. He has someone driving him around.
Yes.
Maserati
absolutely.
Matt. That's pretty good. I like
probably
that.
Probably has Caleb driving him in already.
Yeah. Caleb's not old enough to drive. Okay. Looking in the NBA, some big movers here. MVP. We talked about it last week. Luka Doncic was 9-1. He is down to 5-1, and the Mavs have gone on an 8-2 run over their last 10 games. Luka just last night had a triple double, and he's closing in on SGA, who's plus around 250, give or take, wherever you're looking at it. And then Jokic, who's minus 140, again, give or take, wherever you're looking. But I think there's a path that Luka could end up winning this award. We're already seeing the number drop. If he can, like, what do you think, Mark? If he can get the Mavs, right now they're in the play-in, if he could get them into like a 4-5 spot in the West, do you think he's able to take this home?
I don't know. I don't know why, like, I feel like everybody wants Luka to win these awards because they love Luka and he doesn't win anything when he gets to the postseason. But I think that this might be just a little bit of timing. Like, they're playing well. I think they had the sixth best net rating in the NBA in February. So things are looking good. Like, they're, like you said, 8 of their last 10. You know, the Mavs are rolling. Are they going to be able to continue that? Like, is the consistency going to be there for him to win the award? That's the only thing that concerns me. I mean, last week we talked about Tatum. He made the big move down to 22-1 from 35-1. And I'm kind of obsessed with the Celtics, like, not being represented at all in the awards market. Like, you know, like, Mazzulla's gaining a little ground in Coach of the Year, but I think there's too many good stories there with the top guys, with, you know, Finch and Dagnall, for him to have a chance. So I just feel like they should be represented somehow, but it doesn't look like Tatum. I mean, Tatum just plummeted right back down. So it looks like it's a three-man race at this point with Jokic, Doncic, and SGA. I don't know, man. I just need to see more from Luka in order to put my money there, especially now because, like, the number's short. It's almost like we missed it, like 5-1. Like, is that good enough now? I don't know. I mean, what are your thoughts? You believe in Dallas?
I mean, I would have really liked if I took it last week at 9-1.
9-1, yeah. Look, that would have been nice.
He's going to have to do something insane to get past Jokic, right? Like, Jokic is winning this award unless something wild happens and the Nuggets lose a ton of games, or Jokic gets hurt, or Doncic just goes nuts, averages a triple-double. I mean, he's nearly averaging that right now. But if he's averaging a triple-double over the next 15, 16 games, whatever they have left, and all of a sudden the Mavs are a 4 seed in the West, like, then, yeah, maybe you could look to give it to Luka. But I'd have to imagine it's going to go to Jokic this year. I'm kind of surprised that Jokic isn't more of a favorite right now.
Yeah, I know. It feels like we're going in that direction, right? Where the guys like SGA and Doncic just aren't going to be able to do enough to overcome him. It's hard. I mean,
yeah,
it's hard not to give it to Jokic. Like, it really is. Like, Denver would have to fall off, I feel like. And I think they're like third in the West, but they would have to kind of really fall off, and Dallas would have to make a surge. For me, right now, where the odds are, I would probably still lean SGA a little bit, but it's a no bet for me. Like, I don't see anything on the board right now that makes me want to like dive in and invest more in the MVP market right now. I almost need to see another week. I might have something next week, seeing what kind of move, but things are real volatile. Like I said, I thought Tatum was coming. We're on the Tatum train. That stalled out. We went right off the side of the road. Yeah. So that's not coming home, but man, I don't know if I can get there with Doncic either. And I think it might be Jokic by default when it's all said and done.
Yeah. Okay. Well, most improved player. That's another one. Maxie's the heavy favorite, -500. Kobe White next up at +850. And Jonathan Kuminga has dropped quite a bit. He's now at 16-1. I mean, this looks like Maxie's running away with it for good reason. He's been great this year. He's taken over and kind of, the Sixers haven't been good since Embiid went out, but he's kept them afloat in a sense. I would argue that Kobe White's kind of done the same with the Bulls. I mean, the Bulls are not afloat. They're sinking, but at least they're not dead yet. And they played better at times without Zach LaVine, and that's because Kobe White has stepped up. So I could make an argument very easily for White to win this award, but I think at this point in the season, it's long gone, and Maxey's bringing this one home.
Yeah, Maxey's putting up like 25, 30, 35 points every single night with Embiid out. Yeah. The team's not winning. They lost three of their last four. They're no good. Like, they're not – I mean, they might not even make the playoffs. And we'll see how this turns out if Embiid doesn't come back. They might just decide, hey, just let's scrap Embiid and keep him healthy and work towards next year, because this year seems like a wash at this point. And that's my concern with Maxie. Now, it seems like he's going to win the award. He's gotten, his odds gotten, shifted in his favor, in a big way. And that's why you're seeing, the odds in Kuminga grow, the odds in Kobe White grow, everything else. It's just hard for me to get on board with him at this point when the team stinks. If we say Kobe White can't, do it because, we don't want to give it to Kobe White because the Bulls are the Bulls, right? And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. I know you're a Bulls fan. The Bulls are doing the same thing the Bulls do every year.
Yeah.
I mean, they might be better than the Sixers without Embiid. And it's not like Maxie, to me, it feels like hollow stats out of Tyrese Maxie. And that bothers me a little bit, but he's definitely, it is awesome as a Sixers fan to see his growth and development this season under Nick Nurse taking that leap. And I guess that's what the award's all about. But he was the front runner from the beginning. I like big plus money. I like chaos. It's not going to be in this market.
It would be like a for sure thing if Embiid was still here and Maxey was putting up these numbers, because he's doing it with the best player on the floor for the 76ers. You're right. It does kind of feel like hollow stats because
Robin that James Harden couldn't be. You know what I mean? Like, he's the Robin to Batman. Like, I don't know if that's a good analogy or not.
Exactly.
But he's balling and he's being the guy that since Embiid's been here and Jimmy Butler left. I mean, even when Jimmy Butler is here, Ben Simmons, the whole nine. It was always like, who can we pair Embiid with to make this team take the jump? And they paired him with nobody and Maxey stepped up. So I guess that's really kind of answers the question. That's what the award's all about. I think my bias from being a Sixers fan and just being so apathetic because they stink now, like, makes me influences the way I look at the award.
Fair. And me being a Bulls fan, I kind of want Kobe to win it. He's been so good this year. Okay, we're going to cruise through last dollar really quick here, and then we'll get out of here. Aaron Rodgers, MVP at 20-1, or Jared Mayo, Coach of the Year at 20-1. Mark?
I'm going Mayo, man. I'm going Mayo. I can't bet on Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he's that good. If we look at the MVP market this year, right, coming in right now, Jordan Love is 12-1. Aaron Rodgers is 20-1. Green Bay made the playoffs last year without Aaron Rodgers. Didn't make the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers. That tells you all you need to know. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is good enough to win MVP. I think it's over for him. I know he's, you know, likes the headlines. He's going to get a ton of them, but doesn't matter, man. It's, you know, this isn't the Pat McAfee show. This is the NFL. You got to win. And I don't think the Jets are going to win. It seems like a disaster there.
It does seem like a disaster there, but I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers. I think his number three is Pat because of his injury. And like, we don't know what he's going to be like coming back, but think back to that first game when he took the field with the flag, like how electric it was at that stadium and all the hype going into the Jets season last year. Like, can that not repeat itself this year? I don't think it can. Like, I don't think the Jets are going to win the Super Bowl or anything, but I don't know. Like, has all of that just gone away because the Jets had a terrible year this year? They still have a lot of the same pieces. I think Rodgers might have something left in him. And like, if he has a good year, is there a shot that voters give it to him on his, as a final goodbye, his
popularity,
you know, this could potentially be his last season. And we don't even know who the quarterback for the Patriots are going to be next year.
That is true. But for Mayo to win Coach of the Year, they only have to win like 8-9 games probably. You know, if they win 8-9 games and squeak into the playoffs, like let's say they go sign Kirk Cousins or they draft Drake May and they win 8-9 games, like he's probably in the conversation. Where I think it's hard for Rodgers to get into the conversation because I don't expect them to win. Like I didn't think they would be good last year. And then now he gets hurt and he's coming back off that injury. Like, and the culture stinks. Like everybody, it's like a mess.
A big problem.
Hackett's gonna still be there. Like, no, I'm totally
but Hackett's
out
his
on
guy.
I am totally. I know, but you know who else was his guy? The corpse of Randall Cobb. That was his guy. Right? He brought him in to do absolutely nothing. Alan Lazard. That was his guy. Did absolutely nothing.
That's like, true.
Aaron Rodgers' guys are not good. Do you know who's good? The guys he wouldn't throw the ball last year to, who made Jordan Love 12-1 MVP on the look ahead lines. Those guys are good.
Okay, that's a good point. Good point. Jim Harbaugh, Coach of the Year, plus 550, or Luka MVP, plus 500. Well, this we just kind of went through Luka's path. I think at this point of the season, with there not being a whole lot of NBA season left for Luka to like prove himself even more or, you know, do more, I think you got to go Jim Harbaugh here, even though he's the favorite.
I know. I think I do too. And I hate it because I don't think we're going to see initial results from Harbaugh in year one. Like, I think, you know, a decade out of the game and we're just like, oh, he's going to come in and be Coach of the Year in his first year back in the NFL. He's just going to be Coach of the Year. Okay. Sure. He's going to waltz right in Patrick Mahomes' division and, you know, win Coach of the Year. Come on, man. Like, I don't think so, but I don't think Luka can win MVP. So I almost feel like I'd have to bet Harbaugh. If I had $1 left,
is a place where we say dollar.
We don't want to say dollar to our name because we don't want people wagering their last dollar. If I had $1 left in my sportsbook account, my last dollar, I would bet it on Harbaugh plus 550 before Luka. And I don't even like Harbaugh.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would go Harbaugh too. Okay. This one's easy. Bears or Falcons to make the playoffs at 14-1 next year.
This one was for
you, Kate.
I got
to go Chicago Bears. Why would I not go Chicago Bears? We're making the playoffs this year, baby. Whether we
got a haircut
or Caleb Love, we've got Maserati Matt with the haircut. This is going to be an electric season. We are ready to go. Bears 14-1 to make the postseason.
I got to go with the Falcons. I hate to do it. I got to go with the Falcons. I just think easier division, easier path, right? Tampa Bay loses their offensive coordinator. They're bringing back Mayfield. What's going to happen with Mike Evans? The Saints stink. They're the Saints. Like, they're not going to be any good. They have Derek Carr. And who else is in? Oh, Carolina. That's right. That's who they would have to beat out to make the playoffs. Okay.
All right.
I'll say Atlanta. I think the Bears might be the better football team, but I think Atlanta is better. Has a better chance to make the playoffs at the same odds.
Okay. Yes. Bears, Falcons have a way easier path to make the playoffs, but we're going to go ahead and say Bears are going to be the better.
For your sake, I'm hoping both of them make it.
That would be great. That would be great.
And everybody
would parlay those two together and have a, you know, turn our $1 into
now quite that's, a bit. That's how you maximize your latest dollar.
That is how you do it. That's how you do our first live stream show, Mark. This was fun.
Absolutely loved it.
Yeah. We'll have this up in podcast form as well, so you can find it wherever you get your podcast. Clearly, if you're watching this on Twitter, you know how to find Mark on Twitter at @X_Drumheller. And I'm at Kate Constable. We'll be back around the same time on Thursday next week. Feel free to send over any comments, anything you want us to touch on next week, thoughts you have, and we'll be sure to talk about them. Have a great rest of your day. Mark, we'll see you next time.